This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome back a returning guest. That is Dr. Jerome Corsi. You've heard his name in the news a lot lately. He is the author of the new book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. Of course, he's also founder and CEO of Corsi Nation. Jerome, welcome back. How are you?
Great. I'm great to be back with you. Thank you, Jason.
So tell us what has been going on with you lately. You have really made national headlines repeatedly, global headlines, I guess I should say. What's been going on?
Well, it all involves the Mueller special counsel. I was subpoenaed to appear before it going back to August 28th, and I spent really six sessions, 40 hours over 2 months of a grueling inquisition. I mean, it was just one of the most difficult psychological harassing experiences of my life. And it ended, I really did not have what they wanted. I'll explain how, after 40 hours, it all blew up. And what made the national and international headlines is they had offered me this plea deal on what they call lying, but it's really the crime is willfully and knowingly giving them information you know to be false with the intent to deceive them. And I did not do that. So I turned down their plea offer and told them, I'm 72 years old, so if they want to put me in prison the rest of my life for something I didn't do, then that's a statement to the nation and the world that the U.S. justice doesn't exist any longer. But to go back and kind of backtrack and fill in, the nature of the inquiry that fell apart was that, as a journalist, and through 2016, I've been working with WorldNet Daily as a senior staff writer. I've been following and working with Roger Stone. Well, the special prosecutor believed that I had to have had advanced knowledge that Julian Assange at WikiLeaks had Podesta's emails and that he was going to release those early in October 2016. I had early knowledge that that was going to be the case in July and August 2016, of what Assange was going to do in October. Now, the reason the special prosecutor got onto that was because when I was in Italy in July and August 2016, it was my 25th wedding anniversary, and with my wife's family, we were vacationing, and I had time to figure out and sort through and connect the dots in my mind, and I realized that Julian Assange, after he dropped 22,000 emails on Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the Democratic National Committee's email server, that was on July 22nd, 2016, just before we went to Italy. And in Italy, I figured out what he had remaining, because Julian Assange said he had more emails from the DNC to drop. I figured out they had to be Podesta's. And I wrote this to Roger Stone and others in emails from Italy, kind of alerting everybody that I came to this conclusion that Assange had Podesta's emails. He was going to drop them in October, and they were going to be like an atomic bomb to Hillary's campaign, released day by day until Assange ran out of them, which I predicted would be right up until the election. I was just uncanny in how right I was. And what the special prosecutor wanted was they wanted me to connect Roger Stone to Assange by saying I had a source or a name or that I'd been in touch with Assange and gotten Roger Stone in touch with Assange, and then that would be their link back to Donald Trump for collusion. It would be, of all people, me, Jerome Corsi, a journalist, and Roger Stone connecting with Assange through me and then communicating directly with Donald Trump, the candidate, to coordinate when Assange was going to release these emails, supposedly stolen by Russia. Well, there's several problems here. Number one is, I don't know Julian Assange. I've never met Julian Assange. I never talked to Julian Assange or anybody related to him. And the last 20 hours of this inquisition were just hell because the special prosecutor wouldn't let up on the scene.
That's amazing. So you've never had any communication with Julian Assange?
Never.
Wow. I was going to ask you if you could introduce me because I'd like to interview him on the show.
that'd be great if we just go over to the embassy and talk to him.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly.
You know, what made it more extremely difficult for me was I came in to cooperate with the special counsel. I brought in my computers, my laptops. I had been using an Apple 17-inch MacBook Pro that was just about broken.
Those are old. They haven't made those in a while. Yeah.
And I wanted to keep mine going. Right. Because I liked that bigger size. And I had a Time Machine application, which backed up that computer four times a month onto an external hard drive. And I had the external hard drive. I turned that over to the special counsel, too, along with my cell phone and my email accounts and everything else they wanted, my usernames, passwords, because I thought this would maybe be a legitimate investigation and I would cooperate.
Right, but it wasn't.
No, so this was a politically rigged, biased operation that I've now written this book, Silent No More, to expose, because I began writing that book when I realized how corrupt this was, and I wanted to create an hour-by-hour experience I wrote as we were going along of what it felt like. I want America to be warned, if this can happen to me, this can happen to you.
That's what everybody should be worried about. You know, if you see injustice out there anywhere in the world, whether it be a white-collar ripoff or the government attacking someone, even if you disagree with that person, you better put up your guard and think this could happen to you. It's not just about the topic or the person. It's about the concept, right?
Yes, it's about justice. It's about the fundamental standard we have of right and wrong. And that is blurred or goes away or becomes political. We start making crimes out of politics. And let me explain a little bit more. I mean, on this first day, when I had not reviewed my 2016 emails, because as I explained, the 17-inch laptop, the MacBook Pro, was on its last legs. I quit using it in 2018. And I was afraid if I tried to download or save it and download the 2016 emails, I could wreck the whole machine. I thought I'd just hand it over to the FBI and the condition was the last day I used it and let them worry about it. Well, they asked me the first day.
that's funny, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, they've got Quantico. They've got these
whiz kits. They can dissect your hard drive. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, they can. I mean, they've got technical capabilities way beyond mine, and I didn't think I'd rather have them mess with a partly non-functioning computer and revive it and get the information out of the external drives, because I was really trying to give them everything.
Hey, speaking of Big Brother watching all of us and a little bit of poking fun at it in a sad but true way, can't you just ask the NSA for the backup of your hard drive?
Well, you know, in fact, I'm suing Mueller in the federal district court over exactly that issue.
For $350 million or something?
$350 million.
Wow. Oh, my God. Okay.
And the judge in the case, Judge Leon, has called a hearing on the case on January 3rd, which I intend to be there. And that's possible, meaning the case might go forward. Because I've got evidence and can prove through my case that through either FISA electronic surveillance or NSA surveillance, maybe back to 2004 when I wrote Unfit for Command, the Swift Boat book with John O'Neill against John Kerry, I may have been under electronic surveillance by the NSA for all those years. The special counsel sure seemed to have my phone records, and they knew more than they seemed to have the content of my phone calls. I want to know where they got them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, so how did you pick a $350 million number for that lawsuit? I'm curious.
It's enough to get everybody's attention. My attorney, Larry Klayman, said, let's make sure it was big enough so it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, I think that's going to catch everybody's attention.
Sure. No question about it.
But what they do is they play this memory trap on you. I mean, so I was saying the first day, and I testified, they asked me did I send anybody to see Julian Assange? And I said, no, I didn't. I didn't want to send anybody to see Julian Assange. Well, they pull out this email from 2016 where Roger Stone had emailed me just before we, in July 2016, just before we went to Italy. And he said, basically, somebody needs to go to see Assange. And I forwarded that to Ted Malik in London. Now, that took me about 10 seconds. And I said, I don't remember that email. Well, they let me go home for 10 days. Special counsel, you know, adjourned for 10 days. I went back and finally got my 2016 emails downloaded. I found that email. I came back and I amended the testimony. I said, look, I didn't see the email. I hadn't reviewed them. Obviously, I was willing to send Malik to go to see Assange. Now, I knew Malik did not go to see Assange. I have no reason to think he did. I'm sure he didn't. And at the time I forwarded the email, I didn't think he would go to see Assange, but obviously I was willing. And so they argued, you know, the special counsel at the end of this first day where I'd come in to cooperate. First of all, you're being interrogated in this little room, this little conference room, an interior room with no windows, no clocks, in a FBI unmarked building in Southeast Washington. They drive you from, FBI drives you from your hotel to this building. You get into the garage, you have to surrender your phones and your laptops, you've got no communication. And you sit in this room, and there's me and my attorney against three of the prosecutors with the special counsel and up to six or more of the FBI, and they're all on one side, this army, and you, me and my attorney are here. We quiz for hours in this room. You can't even leave the room to go to the restroom.
Yeah, and you're paying for your attorney, and and the government has unlimited resources and unlimited budgets, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and so they allowed me to amend that testimony. Now, when it came to the plea agreement, after they blew this all up, because they were mad at me, they were furious, they were lecturing me, they were acting up, they were angry, they were frowning, yawning, the special prosecutors, through this last 20 hours, which was just psychological hell. So now they give me a plea that they want me, the only way I can stay out of jail, they say, is if I agree that I lied by the first day's testimony, not acknowledging that they'd allowed me to amend that testimony. Now, I thought that was totally fraudulent because I had amended the testimony that they accepted it, and it's completely unreasonable to ask me to plead to the first day's unamended testimony, which was a memory failure, not an intentional and knowing attempt to provide them false information, which I knew to be false, with an attempt to deceive them. I didn't do that. You know, I'm strongly religious, and so I'd say I'm not going to put my hand on a Bible with a federal judge and swear that I lie, swear I committed a crime I didn't commit, and now become a criminal. I'm not going to do that. I'm 72 years old. They can take me to court, and if I lose, if that's how corrupt the justice system is, I'll sit in prison until I die.
Wow, that's something. So where are you now?
Well, when this all blew up, when I told them in November that I was not going to take their plea deal, the Aaron Zelinsky, one of the prosecutors, the youngest of them, a very arrogant guy who was lecturing me about my books. I take a fact here and a fact there and weave them with lies. He's telling me all my books are lies. These are hard Hillary Clinton partisans, these three prosecutors, all of them contributing only to them, Democrats, all of them having worked and done work for Hillary Clinton. So Aaron Zelinsky told my attorney when I wouldn't take the plea deal, he said, well, we'll take it from here. So, you know, I still don't know, because I'm still answering questions. Could Dad be in prison on Christmas Day? Well, it could be. Could be arrested and hauled away to go to an arraignment. Are we going to lose the
house?
That
is a scary place to be, that's for sure.
Are we going to lose the house? Well, maybe. You know, I'm trying on CourseyNation.com to raise a legal fund, but it's very hard. If I were Peter Strozek or one of the darlings of the hard left and had a GoFundMe account, I'd have $250,000 that afternoon. But, you know, raising $30,000, being conservative, is very hard. Our side just does not seem to contribute, and so I'm struggling to, you know, stay afloat with the legal bills. I've raised about $35,000, but, you know, that's not enough when the legal bills and lost income begin to amount to $100,000 or more and rapidly head towards $200,000.
Right. Right. Those legal fees, what are they for? Are they strictly to deal with these depositions, or are they for, you haven't tried anything. There hasn't been a trial, right?
Well, there's no depositions. It's a matter of these are what they call a proffer.
We were yeah, there in, to, inquisitions.
Yeah, right. Inquisitions, yeah. What I call
better
them.
Better word, yeah. Right.
You know, what they are is you have to pay your attorney to prepare the case. Your attorney has to be, my attorney's in New Jersey, he's been my attorney a long time, has to come to Washington. You have to find the hotel rooms and pay the transportation and the meals. The government reimburses you government rate for hotels, which doesn't do you much good in Washington, D.C. You know, the whole thing is a costly, they attempt to bankrupt you because they know that if you are taken to trial, if you don't accept their plea deal, you're going to go to trial, and then that's going to cost me maybe $2 million in lawyers.
Wow.
And see, the
incredible
plea deal itself was fraudulent. They said, I had to go and plea to a federal judge that I committed this crime, which I'm not going to do. And then they said, well, when would I be sentenced? They said, maybe a year from now. Well, if I don't behave and do everything they want for that year, in other words, I have to quit writing. I couldn't publish Silent No More, which is now as an e-book on Amazon. I want you to read what happened to me day by day, hour by hour, so you can understand what it feels like in case it happens to you. And then, you know, I'd have to go bankrupt. And I said, well, how about if I go bankrupt, have to report to a bankruptcy judge? And so what you can't tell, this is Jeannie Ree, who's the lead of the three prosecutors. Now, she is an attorney in the same firm as Mueller. She has worked for Hillary Clinton as her lawyer, personal lawyer, in the email case and in the foundation. She says Dr. Corsi can't tell the bankruptcy judge because it's going to be sealed that he's a felon until we allow him to tell the world. I said, well, also, you know, I've got securities licenses and insurance licenses. I had a large 25-year career in financial services. I still am active, created two broker-dealers. So, well, you can't tell the regulators and insurance or securities either. So, wait a minute. I've got an affirmative responsibility in these two industries. If my status changes so it might affect my ability to hold a license, I've got to report that immediately to the insurance and securities regulators. So Jeannie Ree has just now told me, the prosecutor for Mueller, that I have to lie, admit committing a crime I didn't commit, memory failure, was not intentional presenting them false information to deceive them. It was not that. I have to risk going bankrupt, I have to change careers, be silent until they decide to prosecute me, drop out of existence. And I have to breach regulations, maybe commit a crime by not reporting this.
And they know about all these interconnected dominoes. Of course, that's what they're trying to do. That's how they're trying to attack you and destroy you.
Right. And so I said, this is only a criminal would structure a plea deal like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an obvious attempt to silence me, to destroy me, and to force me to violate further regulations. Now, if I complied with this plea deal, which I did not, then I have the insurance regulators and the banking regulators, the securities regulators, on my tail mm-hmm. for more violations.
Wow. It's a no-win scenario, isn't it?
The way I'm winning is I tell them, take a hike.
Yeah.
This is a fraudulent process that's predicated on, it's not a legitimate investigation. Legitimate investigation, first of all, you got a crime. Well, if I went to see Julian Assange, it's no crime.
Right. If you were his best friend, it's not a crime.
Not a crime. If he gave me Podesta's emails and I published them, it wouldn't be a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's no crime here. And the Russian collusion, I repeatedly said to, you know, these three prosecutors that I can prove to you that the emails were not stolen by Russia. And they said, well, so first of all, Julian Assange has repeatedly said that Russia had nothing to do with him getting the emails that were stolen from the Democratic National Committee. Why don't you prove the predicate of your investigation by going to ask Julian Assange, what's his proof?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I said, secondly, that computer, the DNC email server, has been hidden away by the DNC in their office building in Washington, D.C., and they wouldn't even let the FBI investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys think it was Guccifer II, who was Russia that stole these emails. I said, you're crazy. Lucifer II only hacked into a different email system, the Democratic National Committee, which was called their NGP van system that held voter and donor data. I said, you guys don't even know how the Democratic National Committee put their computers together. You can't prove a predicate crime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually an investigation starts with a crime. So you got somebody murdered. Now you're going to investigate, look for a suspect. They already know who their suspect was to start. It's Donald Trump. They want to impeach Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working backwards because they've got their theory of the crime, which didn't occur. No Russian collusion, especially if Russia didn't steal the emails. That's the whole case thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already got, you know, they've got to connect Roger Stone to Julian Assange to prove collusion. And they blow it up with me because I look like I wrote these emails and figured out that Assange had Podesta's emails in July and August 2016. I'll admit to having been able to figure that out, connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've done much of my life and is one of the things I think have made me successful as an investigative journalist and author. Connecting the dots. And so I'm saying, you know, because I can't give you, I won't lie and make up a name, which would be foolish, to give you what you want. Now you are going to take all my memory failures and try to prosecute me under a crime that doesn't define memory failures as a crime.
Well, Jerry, this is just an amazing story. I'm sure you're going to have a lot more to say about it in the coming months and years. But tell people where they can get the book and give out your website.
Well, the book is Silent No More, and it's now an ebook, and we rushed this ebook into print, and so it's got some errors in it. Now, of course, I'll have to go to prison for those errors because you can't make those mistakes in the United States anymore, not go to prison.
Yeah, sadly.
But we're going to have the... I actually recorded the audiobook, and it will be posted on Amazon momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get the audiobook, which is me recording it. There won't be mistakes in that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the ebook is a Kindle, but you can get a Kindle reader free in the App Store for either, you know, the Mac or the PC. And also Amazon will give you a free Kindle reader. The hardcover won't be out until March, but I don't want to wait that long for people to be able to read this book.
You know, I'm kind of curious. I think a lot of listeners are going to ask about that. How is Amazon giving away free Kindles? It's a little
They don't give away a Kindle. They give you a Kindle reader.
Okay.
They give you an app that...
Oh, you mean the app that you can use on your computer or iPad.
You can read this book on your computer.
Or your iOS device, sure.
Yeah. If you don't have a Kindle, people think because the ebook is a Kindle, they can't buy it, but they can.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Read it on your computer.
Sure, yeah.
And then, the hardcover will be out in March, but I didn't want to have people wait that long. And the audiobook will be like a podcast. You'll be able to listen to it as any other podcast, and it will be out shortly.
Right.
And I recorded it.
So you gave out the website for that?
It's on Amazon.com.
Right. But for your website, too. Yeah, I think you gave
it's
that
out. It's CourseyNation.com.
Right. Fantastic.
And I desperately, if you can help with the legal defense fund, I would really appreciate it. CourseyNation, CourseyNation.com. You can go, there's four options to fund me. A PayPal, donor box, GoFundMe, and there's a post office box if you want to send me a check. So very much appreciate any money people can contribute.
Good luck to you, and thank you so much for joining us and telling this amazing story today. We really appreciate having you on.
Okay, Jason, thank you very much. Great pleasure to have been with you.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, HartmanMedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.